Not quite 56 yet, but I'm in my 56th year. And in my lifetime, in comparison to all the centuries that have come before, the growth of the Church of Jesus Christ has gone from 3 to 10% of the total world population. That is yay God stuff. Thank you. In 1945, the year that I was born, there were 80 million believers in the world. Today, in 2001, there are over 600 million believers, and the number and percentage continues to increase. That is good news. But there's bad news. The bad news is that of the total world population, 9 out of every 10 people living in the world right now are lost. See, if there's 600 million believers and there are 6 billion people in the world, that means 9 out of every 10 are still lost and outside of personal faith in Christ. Moreover, 2 out of every 3 people in the world have never heard a clear explanation of the gospel. 2 out of every 3. Some of them live in Columbia, South Carolina. No one has ever told them personally how they can be saved through faith in Jesus Christ. And 1 out of every 3 people living in the world, that's 2 billion people, not only are lost, not only have never once heard a clear explanation of the gospel, but 1 out of every 3 have no believer living near enough to tell them, even if they want to hear. That's why we're having a missions week. That's why we emphasize it all throughout the year. World evangelization includes evangelism and missions. Let me just talk about evangelism for a minute. While every believer may not be an evangelist vocationally, every believer should have an evangelistic heart. That's why we have our year verse, Romans 1:16. I am not ashamed of the gospel. Every one of us here need to be able to say that and mean it. I have an evangelistic heart. Maybe I don't have the gift, although it's not wrong to pray for that, but I have the heart. I want Jesus to use me to touch the lives of other people and bring them to faith in him. So evangelism. But let's talk about missions also. While every believer may not be a missionary vocationally, every believer should have a missionary heart. All of us should have a missionary heart. Romans 16:26, the command of the eternal God that all nations might believe and obey him. This is not an option. This is an obligation. This is something that involves all of us, and it's something that all of us should be concerned about. So, whether you think God wants you to be a missionary or not, this week is for you because God wants you and me to have a missionary heart. Oswald J. Smith, who is the pastor of the People's Church in Toronto, Canada, founding pastor, he's now with the Lord, made this statement. He said, "Why should anyone hear the gospel twice until everyone has heard the gospel once?" Now, I don't agree with the theology of that statement because I heard the gospel more than once before it made sense to me and I understood and received the Lord. So I don't agree with the theology of his statement, but I do agree with the missiology of his statement because he's reflecting that God is not willing that any should perish and that he wants everyone to hear. So why should anyone hear the gospel twice until everyone has heard the gospel once? So what is the prayer of a missionary heart? You say, I don't know if I'm supposed to be a missionary, but I do want to have a missionary heart. All right, here's the prayer of a missionary heart. Lord, help me always to be in that place, vocationally and locationally, where you can best use me to get the gospel to those who are still waiting to hear it for the first time. That's a wonderful prayer to pray. Let me do it again. Lord, help me always to be in that place, both locationally and vocationally, in other words, what I'm doing and where I'm living, where you can best use me to get the gospel to those who are still waiting to hear it for the first time. Do you know what? I pray that prayer every day. And you know what? That's why I'm here right now. I'm really convinced that this is where God can best use me now. Maybe tomorrow I'll be somewhere else. I don't know. But right now, this is where I believe God can best use me to get the gospel to those who are still waiting to hear it for the first time. The word missions, mission and missions, missionary, mission field, do not occur in most English Bible translations. You can look and look and look, and you're not going to find them. But To say, well, since the word missionary doesn't occur in the Bible, therefore I don't think I should be a missionary, would be like saying, well, since the word Trinity doesn't occur in the Bible, I'm not going to be Trinitarian. Well, the word doesn't have to occur if the truth occurs and the concept occurs. And missions is all throughout the Bible, even though the words aren't there in the word mission. So where do we get the word mission from? The word mission comes from the Latin word missio or mission, which is the past participle of the Latin verb mittere, which means to send. So this is the whole idea of the word mission. It has to do with sending. So the word mission or missions is ascending. That's what the word means. And the word missionary is a sent one. And the word mission field is the place where one is sent. So that's where this whole word mission, where the meaning of it fits in to both mission, missionary, mission field. Now there's a bunch of New Testament send words, Greek send words in the New Testament. Probably the main one is the Greek word apostello. These, by the way, are English transliteration equivalents. This is not the way you spell the Greek words. But apostello, which is a verb to send, apostolos, which is he that is sent, the one that is sent, most commonly translated in most English Bibles, apostle, although John the Baptist, for example, is called the one who is sent. We don't call him an apostle, but there was a man sent from God whose name was John, same word in the Greek. And then apostoli, or lay, the work of the sent one, most often translated in the New Testament with the English word apostleship. That's what you'll see. And then the word pempo is also used in connection with the sending of missionaries. For example, in Acts 13, when the church prayed and fasted and then sent them off, that's the word that's used there. And then there's three other Greek words that are used in the sending sense, but not that much in terms of missionary sending, balo, apoluo, and bruo. So missions, the whole idea of mission or missions, involves ascending from and ascending to. All right, let me just illustrate that. It's ascending from and ascending to. Now, it's not just going from anywhere to anywhere. It's not just being sent from anywhere to anywhere, but it's being sent from where people know the truth about the one true God, who eternally exists in three persons, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, where people know the truth about the one true God to where people don't know the truth about the one true God. It's talking about going from where people do know the message of the gospel to where people don't know the message of the gospel. It's talking about going from where people do know about Jesus to where people don't know about Jesus and won't know about Jesus unless someone is sent from there and goes there. That's what we're talking about. That's what the word mission means. It's ascending from where the gospel is known to where the gospel is not known. So missions is not primarily a matter of geographic location. In fact, of all the slides I'm going to show you, this may be the most important. So you might want to write these things down. What am I saying? A lot of people think that the farther away you go, the more missionary you are. But missions has nothing to do primarily with geographic location. It happens to be that many unreached people live in far-off places. And that's why we go there, but not because they're far off, but because they're unreached. So it's not a matter of geographic location. Secondly, it's not a matter of ethnic distinction. A lot of people think that the more different the people are that you're working with, the more missionary you are. If they have a different color of skin, if they speak a different language, if they have different dress, that makes them more of a mission field and you more of a missionary. No, that's not what missions is primarily about. Now, often those that are unreached are also very ethnically different than you or than me, but that is not the essence of what mission is about. Thirdly, mission is not primarily a matter of economic condition. A lot of people think that the poorer the people are that you work with, the more missionary you are. I mean, we saw the video earlier and the kids digging through the trash. I mean, I actually wept when I saw that this morning. And my heart is moved by that. But Just because people are poor doesn't make them more of a mission field than people are rich. In fact, some of the fastest growing church growth in the world today is among the world's poor, and some of the most unreached people are rich. So it's not primarily a matter of economic condition. It's not a matter of religious devotion. See, a lot of people think that the more religiously devoted people are, the less of a mission field they are. I mean, they have a religion, they are sincere, they're devout. That means they're not people that we should go to. That's why, for example, a lot of people don't consider some of the countries in Western Europe very much of a mission field, because there's a lot of religious devotion there. I mean, I was a missionary in Italy. Everybody's a Catholic. You know, everybody was baptized in the church. So that must not be a mission field. No, it's not a matter of religious devotion. And it's not primarily a matter of financial provision. What do I mean by that? Just because you raise support doesn't make you a missionary. And if you don't raise support, you can still be a missionary. And I've had some people tell me, I mean, I met somebody recently that's working in a very evangelized neighborhood here in North America, and they call themselves a missionary. I said, how can you call yourself a missionary? I said, we raise our support. Oh, okay. And in their minds, that was what made them a missionary, because they're raising their support. And I admire them for that and everything, but that's not primarily what missions is all about. So it's not a matter of geographic location, ethnic distinction, economic condition, religious devotion, or financial provision. So what is missions primarily about? Missions is primarily a matter of gospel availability. Gospel availability. That's what missions is all about. So the missionary question is this: do people have a chance to hear, understand, and respond to the gospel of Jesus Christ? That is the missionary question for every serious believer. Do people have a chance to hear, understand, and respond to the gospel? So, in keeping in mind this question and the essence of mission, the primary factor regarding missionary location is gospel availability. That's the primary factor that should be kept in mind whenever we decide where to send missionaries or where we ourselves are going to go as missionaries, is gospel availability. Another way to say that is that gospel availability determines where a missionary goes, or it should. Where should I go? Where people don't have a chance to hear, understand, and respond to the gospel. Where the gospel is not available unless I take it there. It has always been my ambition, Paul wrote, to preach the gospel where Christ was not known. Romans 15:20. So that's missionary location. What about missionary vocation? What a missionary does? The primary factor regarding missionary vocation is gospel witness. That's what a missionary does. So another way to say that is to say that gospel witness determines what a missionary does. You say, duh. But it's not really that simple, because I travel around the world all the time and I meet missionaries who tell me they've never shared the gospel with anybody. They're living in a foreign country. They're living among people that are very different. But they don't talk about the gospel. How can you call yourself a missionary and not talk about the gospel? That's the vocation of the missionary. It's gospel witness. Gospel witness determines what a missionary does. That's why Paul says in 1 Corinthians 9, woe to me if I do not preach the gospel. Now, we don't have time to open our Bibles and examine the text. But if you look at it in your room this afternoon or this evening, read the whole chapter of 1 Corinthians chapter 9. Because at the beginning of the chapter, Paul says this: am I not an apostle? And then he says this: have I not seen the Lord? Now, a lot of people feel that what Paul is saying there is he's claiming to be one of the original 12, because you remember when Judas betrayed the Lord and then took his own life, and the apostles got together, they said, we've got to choose somebody to take his place, and it has to be somebody who from the beginning was an eyewitness of all the things that Jesus said and did. And so then they picked Matthias. And so then Paul says, am I not an apostle? Have I not seen the Lord? But if you study very carefully in the book of Acts, the only time it tells us actually that Paul saw the Lord was not on the Damascus Road. It was in the temple in Jerusalem. And on that occasion, the Lord said to him, I am sending you far away to the nations, to the Gentiles. And I think that's what Paul's referring to when he says, am I not a sent one? Have I not seen the Lord? Didn't I see him in the temple? Didn't I hear what he told me to do? And then later in that same chapter, he says this, woe to me if I don't preach the gospel. Why? Because I'm a missionary. And that's what a missionary does. So gospel witness determines what a missionary does. So what is the mission field? Let's get a definition of the mission field. And this is my definition, by the way. And most of these things up here are my definitions, and they're not infallible. So any improvements, I'm happy to receive. Mission field, any area or people group in the world where the majority lives and dies without having the opportunity of hearing the gospel clearly explained. Any area or people group in the world where the majority lives and dies without having the opportunity of hearing the gospel clearly explained. Now, that definition isn't perfect, but I think it's moving in the right direction. It's moving in the direction of the heart of God and the thrust of Scripture. So what is a missionary? All right, this is a longer definition. Are you ready? A missionary is a believer sent by God and the church from where the gospel is known to where the gospel is not known, with the express purpose of preaching the gospel to those who would otherwise not have the opportunity to hear it, understand it, and respond. Now, having said that, not every believing Christian is a missionary, nor should they be. I hope that some people here, if they don't remember anything else I said today, will remember that, because some of you are feeling a little guilty because you're not really pointing in that direction vocationally. You're not planning to be a missionary. Well, maybe you shouldn't be, because not every believer is a missionary and not every believer should be a missionary. Missionaries are not better than other believing Christians. Some of you need to hear that. Missionaries are not better, but they are different. Now you say, that's for sure. But I'm not talking about odd different. I'm talking about they have a very different focus in their vocational and locational choice. They are identifying the mission fields of the world. They're crossing the border of gospel availability and taking the gospel to people who otherwise will never hear it. And so that's different than a believer who remains in a part of the world where the gospel is known. Doesn't mean that one is better than the other, but there is a difference. There is a difference. It's not a difference of class, it's not a difference of value, but it's a difference of focus and attention. Every believer with a missionary heart will either be a sender or a sent one, if you have a missionary heart. You will be a sender or you will be a sent one if you have a missionary heart. If you have a missionary heart, that will affect your checkbook. It will. If you have a missionary heart, that will affect your prayer life. Whether you stay here or go as a vocational missionary somewhere. Can I go back? You don't have to go back with the PowerPoint, but can I go back to talking for a minute about the fact that missions is not primarily a matter of geographic location, ethnic distinction, economic condition, religious devotion, or financial provision? Just think about that for a minute. If that is true, Portugal is a far greater mission field than New Guinea. But you see, most churches here in North America, when a person stands up and says, I believe God wants me to go to New Guinea, oh man, everybody reaches for their wallet. Oh yeah, God bless them. Let's send them. This is the mission field. But somebody says Portugal, they say, Portugal, the Gold Coast? You've got to be kidding. That's not a mission field. I mean, you can get there in 6 hours from New York. Come on. Portugal is a far greater mission field than Papua New Guinea, if these things are true. Boston is perhaps a greater mission field than Belfast. But somebody in a church here stands up and says, I believe God's calling me to reach the unreached people in Boston. You've got to be kidding. Boston, that's in America. That's not a mission field. Somebody else says, I'm going to Belfast. Oh, yeah, that's got to be a mission field. I mean, you got to make a plane trip over the ocean. But Belfast is one of the most evangelical cities in the world. Northern Ireland. I've been there on the back of all the buses the last time I was there. And huge white signs with red letters. The blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanses us from all sin. Every bus you got into. Church on every corner. I've preached in many of them. Wonderful. Praise the Lord. This is right in the heart of Northern Ireland. Boston, greater mission field than Belfast? Possibly. And the white or black homeless American on the streets of Chicago is a far greater mission field than the ethnic Korean community in Chicago. If what I'm saying is true. But somebody in a church says, well, I'm going to go work at the Pacific Garden Mission and help, you know, white homeless people or black homeless people. And they say, well, that's not really a missionary assignment. And somebody else says, I'm going to work with the ethnic Korean community in Chicago. All right, now that's cross-cultural. All right, that's really missionary. No. If you grow up as an ethnic Korean in Chicago, the chances of you hearing the gospel are far greater than many white homeless or black homeless Americans. So we got to get the essence of what mission is all about. So every believer with a missionary heart is either a sender or a sent one. Not every missionary is a missionary. Now, we can have a long discussion about this, and we're not going to, but I just want you to know that just because you join an organization and even go overseas, that doesn't necessarily mean you're a missionary, especially if you haven't purposely said, I want to identify why I'm going there, and it's because of gospel availability, and I want to do what needs to be done when I go there, and that is preach the gospel. And there are an awful lot of people around the world that call themselves missionaries who aren't really missionaries in the New Testament sense of the word. I'd like to unpack that some more, but my time is almost up. There are missionaries on the mission field who should not be there. Now I'm really getting in trouble. But I know what I'm talking about. I know what I'm talking about because I've been with them. They shouldn't be there. In some cases, they should never have gone. And they went out of guilt or because maybe they grew up there as an MK and they wanted to be back home, or because they just thought it would be neat to go to an exotic place, or, you know, all sorts of strange motives for why people go as missionaries. And some of them should never have gone in the first place. Others should have gone, but then they should have come home because they did what they went to do. And then decided to stay for 15 more years because it's more comfortable. So there are people on the mission field that shouldn't be there. At the same time, now here we come back to us. There are many believers who are not missionaries on the mission field, but they should be. You know, I was speaking in a church, and I was hammering the point that God calls us to go, and that God challenges us, you know, go into all the world. And a gentleman, after the service was over, they told me to go to the back, you know, and shake hands with people, and they tell you lies and things as they go out. And what I mean by that, a lot of them say, oh, that was a wonderful sermon, and they didn't mean it at all because they didn't like it or they weren't listening or whatever. But anyway, you know, you shake hands with them. And this one man comes, you know, and of course you only have about, you know, 10 seconds with each person because there's other people waiting. So he's all ready for me, you know. And he shakes my hand. He said, just remember, in wartime, for every soldier on the front line, you need 9 people back home holding the ropes to keep that guy out on the front line. Like that, and then he walked out. You know, I didn't have a chance to respond or anything. And so then I talked to some other people. That night when I got home, I started thinking about that, and I thought, oh, 9 for 1. Well, I wonder how well we're doing. How many believers do we have here, just in North America? Let's just take the North American church, because that's who we are. Let's just talk about it. How many believers do we have here? Well, Gallup and Barna and those guys say, some of them say 60 million.
Let's be real conservative and say 20. Let's say 20 million believers. I don't think that's an exaggeration. 20 million believers, okay? How many actually are going out as vocational missionaries with full-time vocational intent? That's what they're doing. Finding the borders of gospel availability, crossing the borders, preaching the gospel. How many? Well, I think we could say optimistically 100,000. 100,000, all right? Okay, let's do the 9-for-1 formula. Okay, we got 20 million believers, and we need 9 of them to send one out. How many should we be sending out? 2 million. So we only need 1,900,000 more. I'm not going to stop pushing the go button. But I'm not going to do that just because that math. I'm going to do it because there's 2 billion people that are still waiting to hear for the first time. And they're on God's heart. There are many believers who are not missionaries on the mission field, but they should be. Just two more things and we're done. Every believer needs to be willing to seriously consider missionary service. I did not say every believer should be a missionary. I have already said that. Some shouldn't. But every believer needs to be willing to seriously consider missionary service. And that's what Brent talked about this morning. Are you willing to seriously consider this? Are you willing to say to God, God, I don't know if it's here or there, what it is, but I'm open, I'm willing, I see you, your missionary heart, I want to have a missionary heart, and if part of that is to be a sent one, here am I, send me. Are you willing to pray that prayer? So let's look at the prayer of a missionary heart just before we close. Lord, help me always to be in that place, vocationally and locationally, where you can best use me to get the gospel to those who are still waiting to hear it for the first time. Let's pray together. Will you pray that prayer right now in your heart to the Lord? Lord, help me always to be in that place, vocationally and locationally, where you can best use me to get the gospel to those who are still waiting to hear it for the first time. That may, if you pray that prayer and you really mean it, that will definitely affect where you study, whether you study or not, where you study, what your major will be, whether you're planning to transfer out of here and go somewhere else, what you're planning to do when you finish here, the career that you're pursuing, it all is affected by God's missionary heart and by those who say, I want your heart to be my heart. I want to have a missionary heart. I want to have a concern for the whole world. And I only want to be in that place. Today, tomorrow, next year, I only want to be in that place, both locationally and vocationally, where you can best use me to bring the gospel to those who still are waiting to hear it for the first time. Lord, help us to think about these things seriously. Help us to think about these things clearly, with a clear mind, searching the scriptures, examining what your word says, and then honestly confronting ourselves with the clear truth of your word and with the condition of the world in which we live. Use us, we pray, to bring the gospel to those who are still waiting to hear. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.